88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Come on, just lift your hands all over the room and just thank Him. Not clapping your hands, just lift your hands and just thank Him. Tell Him thank you. Love on Him just for a moment and let Him love on you. Think of His goodness to you, His mercy, His grace, His power, His provisions, His forgiveness, His power at work in your life. All the protection He's given you. Another opportunity just to give Him glory, to give Him praise and honor. Has He healed anybody? Has He made a way for you? Has He opened doors for you? Nothing wrong with telling Him thank you. As often as you can, you ought to tell Him thank you. Just for being God. If He never does another thing, He's still our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Him in spirit and in truth. Lift Him above your own agenda, above your own feelings, above your own issues. Take a moment and just put your mind on Him and see how worthy He is. In spite of everything we got going on, He's still worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Heavenly Father. We reverence you in this place. We reverence you in our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We recognize your deity. We recognize your sovereignty. You're God above all. There's none other like you. You are worthy to be praised. You're worthy of our worship. We take this time to give you glory. And thank you and praise your holy name. May you be glorified. May you be lifted. Will you fill our hearts? Fill this place with your spirit, dear Lord. As we are thankful for what you have done and thankful for who you are. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are worthy to be praised. We looked all over. We could find nobody. Nobody greater than you. You are great and greatly to be praised. Our healer, our deliverer, our savior, our peace, our joy, our victory. You are everything we need. We find it all in you. All sufficiency is in you. Bless you, O God. Bless you, O God. Bless you, O God. Bless you, O God. Bless you, Father. Thank you. now in advance, Lord, we thank you for this word you have given us. Thank you in advance for how much better we shall be, how empowered we will be, because your presence is in this place. We yield ourselves to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Meet us in our moment, dear God. We'll be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord one more time for his goodness to all of us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. We are so thankful to God for one more day. One more day that was not promised to us, but one day that was still given to us. And we ought to praise God for another day. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. To all of our ministers and to our minister leaders and to all of you, my father's children, so good to see you today. And to those who are online with us, we thank God for you as well. It's just a beautiful day to be alive. In the land of people dying, we're still yet here to give God glory. Don't waste your breath complaining. Don't waste your breath griping. But take that breath and glorify the Lord. For the psalmist said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What if this was the only breath you get? This next breath was your last one. You want your breath to be glorifying God and blessing him for who he is. Amen. Amen. God bless you. There's a word from the Lord we want to share with you today for a few moments from the book of Mark, from the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter number 2. There was a word that we want to lift for you today. And we solicit your prayers as God seeks to, God's not going to try, but God seeks to meet us where we are for these next few Sundays that we get to stand before you concerning a particular area. And hopefully it'll make sense by the time we're done with it. We want to begin today with this sharing. And so we solicit your prayers as we oftentimes have to challenge God's people. And that's why, whether you know it or not, that's why a lot of people in the culture doesn't like church. Because the church is the only place that challenges and brings about a change. And so if we can go to some neutral location, oftentimes there's no challenge. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's still liberty, isn't it? Amen. So we thank God. I want you to do me a favor. Give yourself a hand for being in church today. Y'all don't do that enough. Y'all ought to be glad to be in the house of the Lord. Mark 2. I want to begin reading at verse number 1 and a few of the following. When you find it, say, I got it. Need more time, say, wait for me. All right. I think everybody got it. Y'all cutting up. Well, I actually vamped for a while to give you time. If you don't know what vamp means, that means I stalled. St. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. And scripture reads thusly, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press or the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. We'll stop right there. Say amen for the word of God. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Well, since you already sat down, do me a favor and look at your neighbor, the cute one. If you're not being looked at, don't feel bad. The Lord still sees you. Look at your cute neighbor. Now look at the ugly one just so they won't feel left out. If you're being looked at now, don't feel bad. You're still precious in God's eyes. Look that neighbor in the eye and say, neighbor, I may have not told you this already, but good morning. You made two good decisions. You came to church and you sat by me. Neighbor, God's word to us today, get you some real friends. That's the wrong neighbor. Look at another neighbor and say to him, neighbor, oh neighbor, God's word to his people, get you some real friends. Give God a praise we want to say to us today. Get you some real friends. Beloved, my heart bleeds for us as the people of God who seek to love God with our whole heart. My heart bleeds for us because as much as together as we try to appear to be, a good percentage of us are traumatized by some things that have taken place in our past. Whether we like to admit it or not or confess it a lot, two things dictate our thought process: our exposure and our experiences. What we've been exposed to and what we have experienced can often dictate what we exhibit. The right thing is to hear God's word and allow it to prick your heart and change your life, and then you begin to live the manifestation of the power of that word that was given unto you. But I'm talking about us. And oftentimes we'll amen and we'll hallelujah and shout and foam at the mouth and turn flips and leave right out of those doors and still be just as broken, just as disgusted, just as devastated and depressed as we can be. Today I really feel, all week actually, I felt your trauma. I've been praying for you, praying with you, because as preparing this word for us today, I was able to feel our trauma, that many of us are just trying to keep it together the best way we know how, but we are traumatized as it pertains to people. And unfortunately, we will bleed on folks who did not cut us. Even the people of God, it's not intentional. It's not that you want to do it. It's not that you mean to do it. But you had your heart broken, and you really believed that you were never going to overcome that type of heartbreak. God has brought you out, but you're not out. God has brought that heartbreak, brought you from heartbreak, but you're still in that situation. It could be a familiar fragrance. They could wear the same color. They could repeat the same phrase. Oh, there you go. I always know a sign when somebody's going to try to mess over me. We are damaged more than we like to admit. Saved, but damaged. Holy Ghost filled, but damaged. Love the Lord, but damaged. Otherwise, how else can you come to God's house and still have a frown on your face and still be lethargic and still be inconsequential? Because people have affected even how you look at God. People have affected how you even approach the worship experience. People have dictated even your theology, because people have hurt us and broken us and disappointed us and broke us again and disappointed us again and hurt our feelings and they did us bad or they did us dirty or they messed over us or they have hurt us. They have harmed us or they disappointed us. They have done some stuff. They have disappointed. I'm going to keep saying it till y'all get it. They have done some stuff to you that you can't even tell it. They've abused you. They have attacked you. They have assaulted you. They have destroyed your character. They have come against you. They've tried to sabotage you. People, my friends, have done some things to us. Now, if I can give you any good news, in spite of we having a little family therapy today, but there is some good news in this family therapy, that if you were not attacked, that means you're already in the wrong place. But anybody who's trying to work and live and walk for the Lord, you got to prepare yourself for some attack. Jesus said, not Pastor, Jesus said, when you follow me, prepare yourself for some persecution. Hey, y'all, people gonna lie on you. You got to go and deal with that. People gonna mess over you. You got to go and deal with that. It may not feel good, but you got to understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. You got to understand this, y'all. You cannot, here it is, here's what I got to tell us today. We cannot keep living, oh hell, we cannot keep living to not get hurt. I feel y'all so strong today, I know I'm preaching all right. Y'all, many of us are living not to love, but we're living not to get hurt. Because the last time you trusted, you got your heart broken. The last time you gave your best, you got disappointed. Fool me once, it's your fault. Fool me again, it's my fault. But Jesus said, how many times do I forgive? He said, forgive them 70 times 7. I ain't got to go back to the relationship, but I can't be delivered from the wreckage. Just because you broke me don't mean God can't put me back together and prepare me for something better, prepare me for something greater. Thank God for restoration. Listen, I ain't mean to do all that. I'm sorry. I ain't mean to do all that. But the way it is not the way it has to be. Stop looking at some of us church folk. Because us church folk who doing all this talking just as terrible, just as ugly, just as demonic, just as bitter. We are young and bitter and got old and bitter. And we giving people theology that ain't based on Bible. Because your Bible says forgive. Your Savior says forgive. And anytime you bring it up what somebody did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20, that's bondage, that is bitterness. And that's why, one of the reasons why, we got bad friendships. Because God even told us it's not good that man must be alone. Yet you have convinced yourself, long as you got King Jesus. God said, it's not good that my creation be isolated. But you done let Vicky Winans, who depended on you to buy her album, tell you to lock up in that house, close the curtain, don't have a take the phone off the hook, can't ignore, and don't fool with nobody. And your problem is you keep waiting until the Lord call you. I'll just stay here and just live like that. Until the Lord called me home. And the Lord still won't call you home. You got to live, learn, and love. You and I are called to live, learn, and love. And in turn, we'll be able to lift. Y'all missed your shot. We got to live, and sometimes living causes you to learn, but learning will stop me from loving, and the more I love, the more I lift him. Ain't no way I'm lifting Jesus, and can't nobody talk to me. Ain't no way I'm glorifying God, and I ain't got nobody in my life who I can be a blessing to. The devil is alive. So, today I come to help us be delivered from the damage. Because you got power, more power over your life than you know. With God on your side, with God as your help, you can dictate who. See, the problem is you gave a key to unauthorized personnel. You gave access to folk who didn't deserve to have access to you. And now when God sends the right folk, you blocking them out. And them the ones with the code and the key to bless your life. And now this brother and this sister is damaged because you won't let anybody else in. And you are designed by God to share, to love, to support, to fellowship. How are you a Christian and you can't speak? I'm not talking about you being, I hear you. I shy. This ain't for introverts. This ain't about being introverted. It's about just common courtesy. You ain't that caught up in a season that you can't nod your head at least. The way we are is not the way we have to be. And God sent me on assignment to talk to us isolated individual Christians. I don't understand how we got all this by ourselves. God, y'all mad already. God fosters, facilitates, forges partnership and relationship. Everything we are is based on God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, that's me and you. And all we had to do was believe in him, and now we have access to eternal life. Yet you close off everybody else, but God opened up to me and you. And your question you keep asking yourself, well, what about when? What about if? That's trauma talk. Because trauma talk is always talking yourself out of blessings. Traumatized talk, you'll always let skepticism and pessimism take you away from your promise. God brings a yes, but what about no coming? I got to be real. Look at y'all. Look how y'all looking at me. So this text we go look at today is going to help us get some real friends. Now, y'all got enough sense. Y'all got more sense than me. And so y'all know that if God sent a word to tell us today about real friends, I'm going to need your uncle in just a minute. I'm gonna need my uncles in just a minute. If God's telling us something about some real friends, that means it's highly possible we've been plagued by. But guess what? Just cause they fake. That mean I have to be. Watch this. I'm gonna give you this for free. I'm just kind of making my rule now. I'm gonna put it all together in just a minute. But in order to have friends, your Bible teaches you that you must show yourself. I can't find nobody. Well, look at you. Can I pastor today? Y'all all right with me, pastor? You can't complain about folk not wanting to fool. I can't find nobody you want to talk. Look at you. Look how you look at folk. Look how you walk around. Well, you know, my face tell. Well, it does tell who you are. What? I am nice. Look at you. I can't find nobody give me some ice, take me to get ice cream. Look how you act. Will somebody even speak to you? I better leave this alone. But I'm in that now. Got me? You got me? I ain't gonna ask you. Look at us. And then go post and tell fake friends. How you tell the internet something you can't tell your next door neighbor? Just because somebody on Facebook is called friend does not constitute, but you'll give them access to your page and pictures, but then close yourself off from people. Just because you got 3,000 Facebook friends does not mean all 3,000 of them love you. Some people said yes and hit that thumb because they nosy. And guess what? That's why you hit that thumb, because you nosy. Some people ain't lovers, they're lurkers. Lord, why you got me? And you give this access to folks who don't know you, but don't let people close to you even get to know you. Our pay $175 and go to Dallas to a conference and even get a name tag. But won't come on a Monday night to my sisters and even tell them my name. You want to be a success universally, but you're a failure locally. You want to be big time in the church, but your own children don't know you at home. Because we're caught up, our focus is on the wrong stuff. And God's word to us, get you some real friends who will love you enough to tell you, sit down. I wish I had a witness. You need people in your life to say, I love you, but you're wrong as two left shoes. Ain't no sense of me pumping you up and let you think you're right, and you know good and doggone well. See, I ain't cussed yet. You know good and doggone well. Some of us have confused yes men with friends. And because I tell you no or you ain't right, well, you see, that's why I'm saying I don't need nobody in my life like that. You need somebody in your life that can look yourself in the eye and say, look here, you wrong. This time, you anointed, you appointed, but you wrong. And such is the case in our text today. Jesus is in Capernaum, his new home base of ministry. Jesus has been healing and teaching and healing and teaching. And he's become popular, and people are coming to hear more about this Jesus and what he had to say to bless people's lives. And the text brings us to five individuals who show us real friendship that I want to introduce to you today. And I just want to give a few helpful hints to us. Holy, heavenly, helpful hints to help us understand how to get some. Now, it is up to you to receive it or not, but I'll even tell you aforementioned, even before I start this presentation, this demonic dispensation I give to you, I tell you that my name is G. Tamel Hams, and I approve this message. You can get mad. You can look, you roll your eyes. But guess what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to tell you what God told me to tell y'all. Because ain't no way you can be New Zion and nasty. We can't go forward like that. We can't be Jesus and jealous. And some got to shift. And the problem is we got the wrong relationships. And we're cutting off the right ones. So, in case you're not, I'll close my eyes by 10 seconds. In case you want to leave the room. But the ushers we got ain't going to let you leave. You're in there now. So let's begin, shall we? In order to find you some real, I'm going to talk about real friends. Real friends, if you're listening today, if you're really receiving what God had to say, real friends, talking about real ones, are... I'm already in trouble, Bruce. They are, number one, connected without competition. They're connected without competition. Bible says that Jesus is in a house. He's not at the church. He's in a house. And many believe it's Simon Peter's house, same house that he has healed Peter's mother-in-law in chapter 1. They believe that he's in Peter's house. But many people are at the house to hear from Jesus, to receive either a miracle or a message, to hear from Jesus. But the Bible says that in the midst of all this going on, this hoopla, there was one who was sick of the palsy. In other words, he's paralyzed and he's weak. And he's being, the Bible says he is born of four. In other words, he got four friends who are carrying him. I'm going to try it again. Y'all missed it. We got a church service going on. We got a word going forth. We've got miracles that could happen, and it's a big crowd. But yet, in the midst of this crowd, are five friends, and four of them are in good shape, One of them isn't bad, but they're all friends. There is no, y'all ain't gonna like this, but we don't know. What I like about these four friends is that we don't know their name. Ain't no Jeffro, ain't no Barney, ain't no Andy Otis or Aunt B. It just says they. That's why y'all stop saying amen. Because too many of us can't be a friend unless I'm the leader. Unless it's my way. Unless you come to my house. Unless you do what I say do. All the text says is they. And you're not ready for friendship if you got to be you and can't be no us. If it's got to be your way, got to be your rules, then you ain't ready to be no they. If you selfish, don't get married. Because it can't be about you all the time. It's because there's no more two, but it's. And if you ain't changed one bit, do not mess up a man or a woman and say, marry me, and it's got to be your way all the time. There is a ministry in this text already, y'all missing. It's a sharing ministry. The Bible says they. We don't know their name. We don't know where they come from. We don't know who. We don't know the gender. We don't know the age. We just see they. Lord, deliver us from people who have to be seen but never show up. What you see in this text, y'all, is some friends who are showing up. And I'm not, and the reason why often we can't connect, can I go? The reason why we can't connect with people, because I can't be friends with somebody I'm jealous of. I can never get with somebody and I'm constantly watching, because some folk are not your friend, they just stand close to see your secret. But when you go through and when you really need them, you can't find them because they're really jealous of you. They're trying to find your weakness. They're trying to see what makes you tweak, trying to see what makes you itch. And they really don't love you. They're trying to get with you because they're jealous of you. And so everybody who's just sitting there, some people can't connect with you. And you got some people who are acquaintances, but they're not friends. Because they always seem to say some stuff that's negative. They never try to build you, but they always want to tear you down and try to tell you they're trying to help you not get the big head. See, people who are jealous actually see more in you than you see in yourself. If I had time, I'd deal with that. People who are envious of you, they are fascinated, obsessed with you. You don't even see yourself as doing anything, but they can't stand. They always find some issue or criticism. Look at you, woke up wrong. Why you walking that fast? Why you walking that slow? Why you write your name like that? Why you use a blue pen? Lord, it'd have been trouble already if one of those friends got more recognition than the other. That's why it's important in friendship to be they and not try to be you. Now, all of us are on one side of this coin. We either trying to be a friend or we are looking for one, or we the ones who ain't for good friends. And I done kind of blew the cover on what you've been doing. Because you really ain't no friend of these people. You're just hanging with them to find their weakness and their sickness so you can use it against them down the road. See, friends, y'all. See, friends, you seen the text here. You seen the text here that the friends know what's wrong with this brother. And they carry him. Because a real friend ain't going to drop me. Real friends have to know what's wrong with me, and I got to be enough of a friend to be honest with them and say, I'm in a weak season. These friends are unnamed. but they're powerful. They're visible, but they're not vocal. If you posting all these pictures about you and your clique and your crew, we call ourselves the boys. But then y'all don't even talk to each other except for photo ops. Well, look at the tone of voice y'all looking at me. Hush. The tone of voice y'all looking at me with. Because you got some envious folk. And you, some of you may be envious, and that's why you can't be a good friend, because you can't see yourself right. And because you can't see yourself right, you won't see them right. And then you won't let them live in what God bless them with, because you so envious, because you ain't got it. Because watch this, in this friendship, you got some who are strong and some who are weak, but thanks be to God, we're still together. Is there anybody who can thank God that you got some friends in your life that every now and then they got it? I may not have it, but we're still together. I may have an up season, they may have a down season, but we're still together. They may be sick, I may be well, but we're still together. Real friends are still together, and there's no competition. Because I can't be a co-laborer with somebody who's competing with me. Because you shouldn't have to compete, because you already know what it takes to do what I do, because we're friends and we're in a relationship anyway. So if you, now watch this, me being with you helped get me here, so why would you try to cut me? Because cutting me is going to cut you, and now nobody wins because we're trying to cut each other. Bible says there came these five friends, but only four of the five are strong. One of the five had to trust somebody to carry him. Which leads me to the second principle of real friends, because not only are they connected without competition, but then they are getting in trouble. They are considerate of your crisis. Bible says this man has palsy, which means that he can't move. And so these friends don't make him walk. Because the Bible says he has palsy, which means he can't. So consideration suggests I'm not going to try to make you do something that you can't do yet. So in the meantime, I'm considerate enough to you and going to be a good friend that until you can walk for yourself, I'll carry you. Is there anybody who can thank God that you had some seasons that were low, but you had somebody who will carry you through, who will cover the cost? Watch this. Watch this. Y'all ain't gonna like this. Y'all ain't gonna like this. Because here's what's damaging friendships right now. Let me go and teach this principle. What's damaging friendships is you helping me and then telling everybody. If you go tell everybody, if you go brag, if you go post it, please don't ever do another thing for me. You gave me $5 6 years ago, and you ain't never let me forget that you gave me $5. And you owe me $105, but your $5 is more important than my $105. Don't do nothing for me. Just leave me weak. I was broken. I was sick. I was messed up. And you can't. I called you and you came to me. And then next thing I look on Facebook, there's a picture of me and you and what you done gave me and everybody liking you and pumping you up. And you done embarrassed me. You humiliated me. You put me on blast. That ain't no friend. You got your own glory. Do your good deeds in private, and the Lord will reward you openly. Stop telling everybody what you do. You're supposed to bless the sick. You're supposed to help the needy. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a Christian. Stop bragging and bless. I better leave this alone. I better leave alone. We got company. I better leave alone. We got company. Some of y'all don't understand how the enemy can make a clown out of you. See, y'all got quiet. It's happening in church. It's happening in community. The stuff you go get credit for, you promote. But the stuff where you ain't gonna be seen, where you ain't gonna be the director, where you ain't the host, where you ain't the founder, that you ain't the key to it, you don't support that. All of that stuff that's got something to do with you, you want to promote and you want to do flyers, you want to put, you want magazine, you want the news station here, you want the president to know it, but stuff that ain't got nothing to do with you, don't nobody know. You busy. As to suggest, you the only one. So if you care about kids, go to everything concerning kids. If that's your passion, if that's your ministry, one thing you know about ministry is you can't always run the show. The devil make a clown out of some of us. Because only the stuff with your name on, only the stuff that's given to you, only the stuff that's tied in directly to you, there you are. How you bless a community and don't bless your church? Where in the blue cheese dressing, I'm doing good. Where in the blue cheese dressing do you think your church is planted? In the community. But see, you can't be boss. You got to follow order and structure and protocol. You got to get permission. And y'all don't want to get permission. You want to do stuff because, see, when you do it under God, he going to get the glory. You do it for yourself, you get all the glory. And we keep getting fooled. And these kids keep getting full bellies and don't get no change to their head. Because we fighting over events. Where the church at? Sitting on the hill. Where we always have been. We where we buried your grandma. We where we married your mom and dad. That's where we are. We the ones who came and paid that light bill. That's where we at. Trying to keep on taking care of you when you was down. Yeah, y'all talk about what the church don't do, but what the church did come see about you. When the church did love you when nobody loved you. Y'all gonna stop that line right here. And you ought to be ashamed to give somebody else something you don't give home. Where you think your church is? In the community. We ain't not somewhere in no spaceship. You have no idea how much crime going right around this church house. But see, we got to have a name. We got to be notorious. We got to be popular and not profitable. I'm not knocking anybody. Keep on doing what we need to do because we all need to pitch in and help our young people. But don't down others. Do your thing. Connect with us. We connect you, do your thing. And now before you know it, we all together doing what God's. But don't try to make me look bad trying to make yourself look good because you'll never look good like that. Learn how to kick. Because guess what? You're going to have a season in your life where sometimes you're going to be carried and sometimes you go carry. You ain't always going to be in the carrying position. Every now and then, God going to let some stuff happen. You're going to need somebody to carry you. And you're going to want people to come to you with care. You're going to want people to love you right and protect you right. You ain't always been up. Because we got a crisis going on. but we need people who are considerate. And if you focus on the mission, why you're watching that? How you know what others ain't doing if you're focused on your mission? It's because you're racing. You're racing. And this ain't no sprint, it's a marathon. Uh-oh. We're not your enemy. We're not your enemy. We want everybody to succeed. We want everybody to eat. But there's a way you got to do it for God to bless it. You can't bypass God and want to be blessed by God. Yeah, I'm teaching now. Black man, you in it. So you might be going to keep going now. White man. Ain't no white people doing nothing else. No more than they've been doing. We're our own worst enemy. Because we're not considerate of my friend's crisis until I get in one. You didn't care what that family ate when they repassed. When it was your family, well, I thought the church was going to. I thought my church family was going to be there for me. I thought I was part of a church that cared. Well, if that's the case, you should be part of a church that cares. Because there's going to be a season you're going to be carried and a season you're going to carry. Life have a funny way of just switching up on you. And you ain't always up. And see, you at the top now, but see, you got to pass by some folks on your way back down. We've lost consideration. Anybody over 45, over 50, over 40? Y'all know what it's like to go through some stuff. So how you understand how kids do it? She's so fast. You was too. But guess what you are now? Slow. Now notice I ain't say stagnant. I say you're slow. You still try. Just can't go with the miles per hour that you used to go. Some of y'all think y'all can still kind of bake potatoes. Watch out them reunions. Hey, it ain't what it was in the 70s. It's an old model car. But the engine still works. So how you can't keep be considerate? Because you ain't seen old Boogaloos in 30 years. And when you saw Boogaloo at that reunion, it brought back all the memories. So how can you not be considerate if it happened to younger folk? Because it can still happen to you. You just think I'm old. Durr. And guess what happened? Once again, we talked about it before. The reason older don't help younger, because we jealous of them. You see what you used to could do and can't do no more, and you take it out on them. Tell the truth, Ham. You see that young lady with that skirt on? Boy, I wish I could wear it. I used to have the same one. Where is it? Not in the closet. Here's what you need to do. Take it out that closet and go to 410 North Law Street. It's called a New Zion Outreach Ministry, and let it go. You keep looking at it, it ain't gonna change, and you ain't gonna change. Get that thing out of there. Say, Bonita, I want to make a donation. Because the more you look at that, it's going to be a replica of what you can't do no more. And you're going to take that out on somebody else. And you'll be mad at younger people, mad at younger men, mad at younger women. Not because they did something wrong, but because they represent what you used to could do. And now you ain't friendly no more. You're not helping. You're not bridging gaps. The reason why we didn't bridge gaps in this community is because we were threatened by who we're supposed to be teaching. The generation above mine was too threatened by my generation, and they did not teach. They cut us off because they saw something coming that was going to go further than them. You know, see, people who are, people who threatened by you, they will teach you everything you know, but won't teach you everything they know. Y'all missed it. People who are threatened, they will, watch somebody who trained you at work. They not going to tell you everything they know because they think sooner or later. And you're going to call them pops and unk and auntie. They cutting your throat in that break room. Hey, pops. They talking about going to the boss, telling them. Come on, get the extra five. You take the five, they go tell on you. Uh-oh, I shouldn't have told that. So real friends know how to be considerate. These brothers were considerate enough not to drop the man because he's weak. They're in a position that he can't be in right now, but they don't drop him. They're still together. Y'all missed it. And then the man on the mat is secure enough to let somebody help him. Y'all missed your shout. Y'all, you got enough sense. You know right now, we were told as kids, don't you go nobody's house and act like I ain't feeding you. And don't you go ask for nothing. Now, you know you hungry. And your stomach will talk for you. You want some chicken, baby? No, ma'am, I'm fine. Your stomach say, yes, you are. And pride will get us, will cause us to lose relationship because sometimes we're needing, but too prideful to say, I need some help now. Okay, you got to write this down because y'all ain't getting it. Let somebody help you. Stop breaking your neck because you won't let nobody help you. See how quiet it got right there? See how quiet it got? Where is it going to come from? If you broke down, where the help going to come from? Lord, send me some help, please. Here comes some gentleman help you cross the street. Get your hand off me. I got it. And one step in the street. You had a strong brother try to help you get across. I don't need nobody helping me. Get off me. Don't nobody touching me like that. You don't know me like that. Ma'am, trust me, I ain't coming at you like that because look at you. I'm just trying to help you get across the street. And you got the nerve to be up at it and can't get across the street. And I look back and look at you. Carl, just keep passing you because you can't get across. Because you need to let somebody... Is God helping us yet? Let somebody help you. Watch this. Y'all don't miss this friendship principle. It's a friendship principle, right? Don't make them carry you. Because friendship is not demanding. Oh, Pam, you messed up again. Let them help you. Don't make them. Let it be a joy to carry you. Don't demand it. Because people, guess what? Even though they were friends, they ain't got to do. I wish I could help somebody today. Folks ain't got to put up with you. Y'all missed it. I got two uncles here. I got an auntie here. I ain't got to. And they ain't got to fool with me. There are times that if they act in a certain way, I'm acting a certain way, we ain't got to fool with each other. So we got to conduct ourselves. Everybody deserves respect. Just because we have a certain relationship don't mean you abuse it and you just take people for granted. You got to take care of me. No, I ain't either. When people do stuff for you they don't have to do, say thank you. Well, you know I'm old. You go, okay. Just because you're older don't give you license to be disrespectful and demanding and ugly. Come on, come on. Come on, fat boy, help me. Okay, old lady. Might be fat, but I'm faster than you. Come on over here. God, dog, how much you gonna eat? As much as my stomach can take. How old you gonna get? See, you can dish it. You so disrespectful. Look at you. You started it. And if you ain't no position to roast nobody, people in glass houses. Because, see, some of us walk around roastable. You better be careful with your mouth. People been waiting to blast you. Just because we in church don't mean you disrespect people. Let it be a joy for people to help you. Oh, there go mother there. There go father there. There go uncle. There go my brother. Come on, man. Let me help you out. You ain't got to come on over here and get me. Thank you, Lord, for helping us today. Get you some real friends who know who will let you help them and who will help. It works together. Because I understand, Bible teaches us, brethren, when you find a brother overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know what that means? It means you better help him today. Because tomorrow it could be you. I got the move. Watch this though. Let me tell you something. Let me help the culture. The only reason, y'all listen to me real good. Y'all got this mic on right? Can y'all hear me? Everybody hear me? I ain't say hear me. Can you hear me good? Can you hear me good? Because I'm going to slow down and say this. The only reason. It's too quiet. The only reason. You saw somebody's dirt is to clean it up. God didn't let, because see, God will let us go through and let us see each other go through, because can't nobody cover me like a real friend cover me. Bear ye one another's burden. Because, see, I'm not always on my up days. Some days I have some struggles. And I need to know I got real friends who can handle my low time and my high time. I don't need people just to see the preacher part. I need y'all to be able to love the person part. And that's why everybody can't handle you and be your real friend. Because real friends can handle when you're a person and not a preacher and not a singer and not a deacon. Because some days I don't feel anointed. Some days I want to get them jokers back. Some days I want to go smooth off. And I need friends who can handle that and still love me. So that's why I don't go to everybody's house. That's why I ain't going to talk to some of y'all. Because y'all messy. Y'all want to see somebody's weakness and then put, ooh, the pastor cuss. Ooh, the pastor going through. God lets you see somebody, some brother or sister struggles, not for you to put them on blast. It's because you know what it's like to go through a scandal. You know.